one with Jay Gresham Machen's great book, Christianity and Liberalism. I don't think a book could ever be more timely in kind of a unusual sense, because it was written almost 100 years ago. It was published in 1923, I believe. So we're 1 year away from the century marker of when this great book was published by Jay Gresham Machen. One of the reasons I have wanted to read through this book is I read it a long time ago and was shocked at how what Machen describes as quote unquote modern liberalism is very descriptive of so-called conservative Bible-believing Christianity in America today, just regular kind of run-of-the-mill evangelical Christianity today. And I was pretty surprised at some of the things that he said. I kept having to remind myself, he's talking about the liberalization of the Presbyterian Church that he was part of as he watched it go completely apostate. And now, of course, you know, the PC USA is as liberal as it gets. I mean, they had the whole Reimaginings conference where they had like voodoo priests and like Satan worshipers and stuff like that. And there's another great book that Machen wrote called What is Faith? And the reason that's a great book too. In fact, I'd really like to read through that one as well, because the word faith, by and large, as it's used today in our culture today, does not mean what it actually means in Scripture. And people think that, well, you know, what you can't prove and what you don't really know for sure, you just take by faith. And I just would say that is really the opposite of what faith is. That definition of faith could not be more far removed from what Scripture means by faith. Faith in the Bible, belief, the Greek verb pistuo, and the noun pistis, to believe something is to believe what is true on God's authority. And so it's the opposite of, well, you know, I don't really know for sure, so I just take it by faith. Now, the thing is, you could say that about evolutionists. Everything they believe, they have to believe by faith, because there is no evidence of it. None. It's a philosophical commitment that they make to, well, I guess everything just blew up. Well, did you, like 15 billion years ago, did you see that? No. Is there any evidence of that? No. How do you know that? Well, I can't believe that God created it, so I'll just say that nothing blew up one day. And lo and behold, here we are. And we all descended from a common ancestor. Well, how do you know that? Is there any evidence that that happened? No. Do the fossils bear out slow, gradual micromutations? So over time, is there evidence that that happened? No, none. Well, how do you believe it? I just take it by faith. That is the secular use of the word faith. When a Christian speaks of faith or belief, we're talking about believing things to be true because they are spoken to us by God in His Word, in Scripture. And there can be nothing more certain than that. So faith is not believing what you know ain't so, or believing something, just wanting to believe it, so you just take a leap of faith, like Soren Kierkegaard said. That is the opposite of the biblical doctrine of faith. So Machen, of course, dealing with the liberals way back, wrote another book, What is Faith? Because they were totally misusing that word too. And what they meant by it is not what Scripture means by it, and is not, and never has been, what Christians mean by the word faith or belief. Okay, it's not that, well, we have some uncertainty, so we're just going to take a leap of faith. That's not what faith is at all. It is, God has spoken. Do you believe what He says or not? And we would maintain, I would maintain, that we know the Bible is the Word of God because of the impossibility of the contrary. No other worldview can account for everything that we have to take for granted in order to say whether or not we believe anything to be true or false. But I've done hours and hours of videos on that sort of thing, but I want to get to Machen here, and let me go ahead and pull him up, and I marked the word that I left off on. I always try to highlight it blue. There it is. And let me see. Folks have emailed me and told me it's easier if I actually have it up on the screen. I guess for those that listen to this program on, come on now, let's see this. Here we go. So here we go. So there's where we left off. Others. All right. Others, more seriously, have recognized the existence of the problem, but have sought to avoid it by denying that Jesus ever thought that he was the Messiah, and by supporting their denial, not by mere assertions, but by a critical examination of the sources. Okay, so many people, like, for example, here, H.G. Wells, Wells apparently thought it was is like all by himself. He actually made the argument Jesus never even existed, which I don't think is held by anybody today. But that was a long time ago, and so on. But some, like Mr. H.G. Wells, have practically ignored it. Just the fact that Jesus clearly believes himself to be the Messiah and the Son of God. You can't take the text of the Bible seriously and not recognize that that is what he claimed. Okay, none of the searches for the historical Jesus that were undertaken by German liberals and others ever took the sources of Scripture seriously. Here's what happens. Let me tell you what happens. When the German liberals did their quest for the historical Jesus, they shredded the Bible, ripped everything supernatural out of it, and lo and behold, can anyone guess what Jesus was? The Jesus they found was a German liberal. No way! He was just like them! And that's what people do. People do that all the time to Scripture. Well, I'm a feminist, and I'm a liberal, and I'm an inclusivist, I'm a universalist, and they read the Scriptures, and they just filter out everything that doesn't fit with what they want Jesus to be. Lo and behold, Jesus is a feminist. Jesus is a liberal. Jesus is just like us. Now, Jesus is what he is what the Word of God says he is, whether anybody believes it or not. Whether we submit to it or not, whether we love the true Jesus or not. And always remember, 2 Corinthians 11, it's a very timely passage for our time today, in the time of apostasy in America, in American Christianity. There are lots of Jesuses out there, lots of Gospels out there, and lots of spirits out there that are not the true Jesus or the true Gospel or the true Holy Spirit. But many people, because they want certain things to be true, they do that. Now, actually, I was going to play a little clip here. This actually might end up taking a little bit longer than I thought. There was a guy named Francis Chan. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with Francis Chan. I read his book, Crazy Love, a while back. A friend from the church there in Ohio gave me a copy of it. I was not overly impressed by it. I didn't think it was very good. I really didn't. And was kind of like, why is this being put forward as some great treatise or something? But it wasn't very in-depth theologically, and, you know, his whole thing is, you know, God has this crazy love that he gives to us, and the best we can do is, you know, go to church and try not to cuss, you know, and then he kind of goes into, we should have the same kind of crazy love, and I agree. We should be the most loving people, the most generous, the most patient and kind that there are. But we also have to be committed to the truth. And that's one thing Francis Chan has demonstrated over the last few years is he has lost his marbles and he's doing ecumenical activity with Roman Catholicism. He kind of just, it seems like he just kind of walked away from that mega church he founded and just kind of like, you know, he didn't want to be the pastor there anymore. And he's hooked up with Todd White. Todd White is a charlatan, is a phony healer. He does the leg lengthening trick. And Todd White is a real odd cat. And listen to the stuff that Justin Peters has done exposing Todd White. Really weird. And there's, you know, here's Francis Chan looking at YouTube here, hugging Todd White and praying with him and doing stuff with Benny Hinn. If your discernment filters are that broken that you don't understand that someone like Benny Hinn is a certified nutcase, then, pardon me, I would really question your ability to discern anything. And then I saw this roundtable discussion with Francis Chan and Hank Hanegraaff and Metropolitan Johann talking about how the church gave us the Bible and all these lame arguments that have been refuted again and again and again. And he's just trying to act, you know, open-minded and everything. And so he's really, really lost it. I wanted to play a clip here of this. Francis Chan apologizes for Mike Gendron. Now, Mike Gendron is a really good apologist for the Christian faith. He feels a sense of calling to be a witness to Roman Catholics because he was a former Catholic for 30-something years and became a Christian. But Francis Chan apparently long ago had Mike Gendron speak at his church, and Chan didn't like the presentation. Mike Gendron is like one of the most mild-mannered, soft-spoken, and yet passionate for the gospel that I've ever heard. And I've gotten his materials. He has a book called Preparing Catholics for Eternity. Great book on how to witness to Roman Catholic people. But listen to this clip. This is a guy interviewing Mike Gendron about the fact that Francis Chan apologized to his church for the fact that Mike Gendron spoke there and gave such a strong presentation against the false doctrines of Catholicism. So let me pull this up here.
I was reading from the Ventura County Star, March 1st, 2003, as transcribed by the BereanCall.org. Let me finish this article about Mike Gendron at Francis Chan's church back in 2003 when Chan, shut it down, said no questions and answers after Mike's presentation, apologized to the church, as you heard Mike explain, and then we'll have Mike comment on this article. And then play a clip of Francis Chan recently speaking just in the last few days at Rick Warren's church, maybe getting an idea of where things are going within evangelicalism in regards to ecumenicalism. All right, so as we finished off before the break, we finished up right here. The Reverend Francis Chan, senior pastor of Cornerstone Community Church, said he agreed with what some of, that's not a very well read written sentence, but that's the way it is, said he agreed with what some of what Gendron presented, but was worried because parts felt cold and sarcastic. He heard from Catholics who agreed with Gendron, Chan said, but he worried others felt belittled. We thought by...
I wonder if the Galatian Judaizers felt belittled by Paul when he wrote Galatians. I wonder if the Gnostics felt belittled by John when he wrote 1 John, when he called them antichrists. You know, that's, the tone that those apostles use to denounce false doctrine is not very sweet. It's not very loving sometimes.
Bringing in a guy who had been part of the Catholic Church that long, it would give us a different perspective, end quote, he said. Quote, in hindsight, I wish I had one of my pastors do the seminar, end quote. Chan is considering a follow-up forum.
Is a fantastic speaker. I've got videos that he did. I think he still has that website, Proclaim the Gospel, and it's got great articles on it. He's a very, very careful with what he says, and he's a very good apologist and against Catholicism and a very good spokesperson for the true gospel. This is a man that was saved out of Catholicism. So, of course, he's going to bring a strong presentation. But why would Chan, apologize to his church because people felt belittled by Gendron's presentation? Because Francis Chan is sympathetic to Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy and the bizarre, goofy, heretical, like, I'm talking jaw-dropping lunacy that comes from the mouth of Benny Hinn and Ken Copeland and Todd White. And he's teamed up with all these. He's running around doing stuff with all these people. So he was on a trajectory that was headed for disaster anyway.
Dealing with Catholicism to, quote, sort of set the record straight, end quote, Chan said.
Set the record
quote,
straight.
People can't use a broad brush to characterize the way all Catholics believe.
And, of course, Gendron wouldn't have done that anyway. He would be doing what any careful preacher would do, and that is, I'm talking about not the individuals, but the system of theology as it is officially codified in their own documents. Okay, it's wrong to how does Chan say it? That's just so typical of modern evangelicalism. Listen.
Quote, people can't use a broad brush to characterize the way all Catholics believe.
And, of course, Gendron wouldn't have been doing that. He would be giving you the official statements of the church, which he does in his books and in his lectures and everything else.
He said, quote, some are certainly Christians, and some probably aren't. The same as with any church that builds itself as Christian. And virtually...
This is all true, and a complete red herring. Total red herring. And again, it's so hard to get people to focus in our day and age on issues of truth. Okay, we're not talking about the individuals that profess to hold to these things. We're talking about the system itself considered biblically. That's all.
Every doctrine that can be found in evangelical Christianity is also reflected in Catholicism, end quote.
Really? How about the gospel? Is that reflected in Catholicism? Justification by faith alone? Is that reflected in Catholicism? Is sola scriptura reflected in Catholicism? Is sola gratia? The way the Bible teaches sola gratia, is that reflected in Catholicism?
But Chambly's Catholics have padded their Bible teaching with other traditions and lessons.
No, they haven't. They haven't padded their Bible with other traditions and lessons and teachings. They have departed from the true gospel by completely adulterating it and changing it into a false gospel that's no gospel at all.
If you keep adding, it's no longer the same, he said, end quote. Now, Mike, I want to take issue with this last line. And virtually every doctrine that can be found in evangelical Christianity is also reflected in Catholicism. That is a quote from Chan, is it not?
Yeah, it really shows that Francis Chan either does not know how narrow the gospel of Jesus Christ is, or he doesn't know Roman Catholicism, because...
Or both. Yeah, I think what Jenner just said, he doesn't know how narrow the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. Meaning, you can come to God only on his terms. Think about Romans 10, speaking of the zealous Jewish people. Paul says, I bear witness of them. They have a great zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. And what do you have in Catholicism? You have a system where people seek to establish their own righteousness because they're ignorant of the imputed righteousness of Christ. And so the gospel is very narrow. You do need to trust only in Jesus Christ to get you into heaven, and Rome does not teach that.
The two faiths are diametrically opposed. There is no middle ground.
Mm-hmm.
It is not a gray issue. It is clearly black and white.
That's right.
In fact, the last point he made, Chan said, Catholics have padded their Bible teachings with other traditions, and at some point, if you keep adding, it's no longer the same. Well, if you look at Galatians chapter 1, the Judaizers added one thing, and that immediately brought upon an anathema by the Apostle Paul.
That's right.
He said, if you add anything, you are condemned. You are to be turned over to God for destruction, because adding anything to the gospel of grace...
Yeah, and you know, in Galatians, it's just that book that just won't go away, you know? Chan says, if you keep adding stuff, eventually you change it. But what Gendron said is spot on the money. Paul said, if you add one thing... if you keep on adding, then eventually it will become different. If you add anything to the finished work of Christ, you don't have the work of Christ anymore. Christians believe that Christ alone saves them. Christians believe that. All Christians believe that. And if you add something to that, if you believe that Jesus plus something else saves you, then you're not a Christian. And that's not my teaching. That's not, you know, radical, hardcore Reformation people. That is the apostolic position of the Word of God. That's what Galatians teaches us. If you receive circumcision, Paul says in Galatians 5, I solemnly testify to you, to every man who receives circumcision, thinking it's going to get them into heaven, that Christ will be of no benefit to you. And you are a debtor to keep the whole law. You either come to God on his terms, trusting in Christ alone, or you can't come at all.
Nullifies it.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you have Chan saying at some point it's no longer the same. Why doesn't he say at some point if you add one thing to the gospel you are under condemnation?
Yeah.
I mean, that's quoting the Apostle Paul.
That's what the scripture says.
But you see, he didn't want to offend the visitors, and there's no way that Catholic salvation is found in evangelical churches, nor is the evangelical gospel found in Roman Catholicism. And so Francis Chan is not aware of Roman Catholicism. He may just be seeking unity based on ignorance, is all I can hope to explain.
I kind of doubt it. I kind of doubt his ignorance.
He's a graduate of Master Seminary.
I don't know how a guy can go through Master Seminary, which he did. Don't hold that against Master Seminary. And come out the other side and not understand the differences. Do you really believe that, Mike?
Well, you know that...
Mike Gendron is a really nice guy. He's trying to be as charitable as possible towards Chan. But, like, this host, I don't know who this host is, but he's right. Chan is a graduate of the Master's Seminary. That's the seminary that was founded by MacArthur out there in Southern California. There's no way you could get out of there with a degree and not understand the differences between Reformation Christianity and Catholicism. There's just no way.
I have the highest regard and respect for the Master's Seminary and for John MacArthur. And one of my favorite quotes by John MacArthur, which I'm sure Francis Chan may have heard some semblance of this while he was a student there, John gave this quote on a Dallas radio station when he was being interviewed and a question came up from the audience about what he believes the Roman Catholic religion is. And this is John's quote. He said, "Catholicism is a false system. It is not the Church of Christ. It is the Church of Antichrist. If you follow Catholic theology, you'll go to hell. I'm not..."
And that is exactly correct. It is not Christianity. And that's one of the great dangers of Catholicism, is it claims to be true Christianity. Okay, the Roman Catholic religion is not saying, you know, here are some doctrines we think you might want to consider. I mean, they're saying you have to believe what we believe or you're lost. Okay, they're not optional. Papal primacy, papal infallibility, the bodily assumption of Mary, the Immaculate Conception, those are de fide dogmas of the Catholic religion. Justification by infused righteousness and by congruent merit, sacramental grace being infused into your soul, giving you new habits and doing good works, which viewed under the auspices of grace become meritorious, because it's fitting for God to reward them with eternal life and so on and so forth. That's not the gospel, never has been, never will be. And MacArthur's right. It is not the Church of Christ, it's the Church of Antichrist. Let me back up just a little bit here.
Quote, he said, "Catholicism is a false system. It is not the Church of Christ, it is the Church of Antichrist. If you follow Catholic theology, you'll go to hell. I'm not saying this to be unkind, but to be truthful." Being truthful.
Right. People assume that if you point out something is wrong, the only thing our culture thinks today, if you point out that something's wrong and soul damning, you're mean. You are not nice. But it is kind and it's loving to tell the truth. In fact, there's nothing more loving than the truth. And if we don't tell the truth, then we are actually demonstrating the highest kind of hatred that there is. And people think all these churches that are quote-unquote warm and affirming towards quote-unquote the LGBT community, they are the most hate-filled people on earth. Because they are ushering these people to the gates of hell and kicking them in, rather than calling them to repentance. And there is repentance, there is freedom from those sins, just like there's freedom from any other sin. From theft, from fornication, from idolatry, adultery, covetousness, grumbling, you name it. The Lord Jesus can forgive anyone of any sin. He can forgive anyone of any sin. But if we're going to say that certain things the Word of God says are sin, if we're not willing to tell people that these are sin, because in the name of political correctness or of not offending people, we're not loving them at all. We're not loving people at all if we do that. And that's what MacArthur's saying there. I'm not saying this to be unkind, but to be kind. It's sad. The culture we live in around it doesn't have a biblical definition of love anymore. Love, people really think to love someone means to affirm and accept everything they do, believe, say, and stand for. And that's not loving at all. That's not loving at all.
Follow Catholic theology, you'll go to hell. I'm not saying this to be unkind, but to be truthful. Being truthful is the only way to be kind. Mm. People need to come out of that system. It is a system that exalts Mary, and it is a system of paganism mingled with pseudo-Christianity.
Mm.
That's John MacArthur.
Right on.
He has no fear of man. He seeks the approval of God, and he calls it like it is.
Yep.
He does this so that Roman Catholics will know they're in a false system, so they can repent and believe the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
You see, Brandon, the most wicked thing any evangelical teacher could do would be to tell Roman Catholics that there are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we share a common gospel.
And that's exactly what Chan is doing. And oh my, how his popularity has gone through the roof. Everybody loves him. Everybody loves him now. He sits down with Hank Hanegraaff, who was an apostate, who was a convert to Eastern Orthodoxy, and I did a video documenting what Hanegraaff used to believe about the gospel and what he believes now, and they're two different things. Even though Hanegraaff has said I codified my views in 20 books, and my views have not changed. I documented in that video. You can look at it on my YouTube channel called "The Hank Hanegraaff's Old Gospel versus His New One." Okay, he does not believe the same things about the gospel. Chan is sitting there with a guy who thinks that we're justified by good works, and that's how he understands James chapter 2, which is obviously an error in its context. And sitting down there with a metropolitan, which is an unbiblical church office, Metropolitan Johann, talking about tradition, and how they the Christians had the faith before they had the Bible, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's the same exact arguments you get from Roman Catholics as well. Okay, it works great for both groups, but they're both wrong about that. The Word of God creates the church, and not the other way around. The church doesn't create the Word of God. The Word of God creates the church. But anyway, listen to just the rest of this, a little bit more of this clip.
What you could do would be to tell Roman Catholics that there are brothers and sisters in Christ, that we share a common gospel, because then they no longer seek the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so we praise God for people like John MacArthur, who will call Roman Catholics to repentance out of a false system. And that's where I was for 34 years of my life. I believed I belonged to the one true church, but it wasn't until God opened my eyes as I was reading the Bible to know that I was deceived. People that are deceived don't ever know they're deceived until they come to a knowledge of the truth. And so even though the gospel may be offensive, it is better to offend people now with the gospel than to let them march proudly toward Hell's Gate, never intervening, never loving them enough to show them the truth.
Mm. Right on the money. Right on the money. And he's exactly right. He's exactly right. And, you know, Mike Gendron is a wonderful guy. He's a wonderful man of God from everything I've seen and read by him and from him over the years. And really appreciate his demeanor and his attitude. And that video showed up in my feed. I'd heard that years ago. But Francis Chan, since then, has gone off the deep end into every kind of ecumenical schmooze and weirdness. I've seen him speaking at Roman Catholic conferences to to people, and you know, he really has just become kind of a stooge for everybody. And I don't really understand. I don't know what kind of a church situation he's in as far as is he accountable to anybody for any of these things? Is there anybody there that can call him to, you know, to be faithful to the truth and that sort of thing, but not doing anyone any favors, but very popular, but very, very popular. In fact, let me, I just want to share, since we're at almost at the half hour mark, just let me share some, a few passages of scripture that come to mind in the light of that. We live in an apostate age. There's no doubt about it here in America. But Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Okay, Jesus understood this. There are people who will embrace pseudo-spirituality, and what they do is they dip their finger in water and hold it up in the air to see where the wind blows. And wherever the wind blows, whatever the culture wants, whatever is popular, that's where they go. That's where they go. It's just like that great illustration from Thomas Manson, where dead fish go. Where do dead fish go? The dead fish go wherever the stream takes them. All the dead souls in our society, where are they all going? Wherever the winds of culture change, take them. That's where they're going. Just follow the streams. That's where they will be. You know, people of all ages that are not anchored to the truth of God will just flow down the river into whatever's popular, and if something that's popular becomes unpopular, lo and behold, they won't like it anymore either. You see, he who marries the spirit of the age will fast find themselves to be a widow or a widower, because the spirit of the age is always changing, and we are to be immovable. We are to be immovable in the work of the Lord. In fact, that's an exhortation from the end of 1 Corinthians. In fact, let me pull up the Greek here. That term, ametakinetos, okay, immovable. My beloved brethren, be steadfast. You see, culture is always changing. What's popular is always changing. ideas, there's always new ideas, and there's cutting edge this, and there's new theological developments, and there's the new perspectives on Paul, and then there's this new stuff here and this new stuff there. And we're supposed to be steadfast, immovable, standing firm on what the Scripture says. And of course, the people who claim to believe the Bible, what will they say? Well, the Bible's a living document, and nobody can understand or interpret it. That's just not the case at all. There is consistency and there's clarity in the text of Scripture. And no matter how much people whine and fuss about it, it still says what it's always said. And long after these new ideas are dead and buried, which they will be in 50 or 100 years, the same glorious truths will continue to thwart the gates of hell and plunder Satan's goods by redeeming people and saving them out of all of that nonsense and the liberalization of our culture, the feminization of our culture. And as the stream pushes the dead fish down river, the Lord Jesus will still be resurrecting those fish, and they will start swimming against the current because they'll be anchored to the truth of God's holy word, because they will become immovable in the work of the Lord. There's a passage of scripture I've been trying to help, you know, my kiddos understand the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. It's a very important truth. I met with a couple of young men here at church. We meet maybe once every couple of weeks, and we split a pizza and we read the larger catechism together. And so we have a great time discussing it. And one of them said, you know, I think one thing that's not talked about enough in the church is the doctrine of the inspiration and authority of Scripture, the doctrine of Scripture. I thought, that's a good point, and I reflected on that. That's one of the reasons it's good to have guys that you meet with or people that you meet with, and you read good books or read Scripture together. Read the larger catechism and read the Scripture proofs and talk about it. It's very encouraging to do that. And your discussions will edify your soul. 2 Peter 1 is one of the two real important, obviously there's many more, but two key passages to understand the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. Knowing this first, let's pull up the New American Standard a little bit better on this particular passage. No prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And that term that's used there is the word pharaoh, as I recall. It's carried along by grapes, yes. Let's see. Pheromenoi, being carried, it's a participle, being carried about along by the Holy Spirit. Holy men spoke from God, being carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the pneumatos hagiou, the Holy Spirit carried them along. Now, what's interesting, how this is relevant to what we're talking about with Francis Chan and Catholicism and some of the apostasy going on in the church today. He immediately moves in the very next verse to a discussion about false teachers. And he says, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. There's just no other way to understand that it's deliberate. False teachers come in, and they come in wanting converts. They come in and secretly introduce not just, you know, oddities here and there, but destructive heresies. Destructive false teaching. Okay? And they will secretly do it. It reminds me of Galatians chapter 2. The false brethren who came in by stealth, secretly, to spy out our liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And you think, man, that really happens? Yes, indeed. Okay, they will secretly come in to do this. Galatians chapter 2, I believe it's verse 4. It was because of false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in, I mean, to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus in order to bring us into bondage. Into the bondage of what? A system of works righteousness, which they attribute to grace, of course. And you couldn't do it without Jesus, but they add things to faith as the means of justification. That's what bondage is all about. And that's why in those systems you can never have certainty. So these people come in, there will be false teachers among the people, says 2 Peter chapter 2, who will secretly bring in destructive heresy. False brethren, secretly brought in, who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, to bring in their false teaching. Paul in Acts chapter 20, verses 28 and following, his exhortation to the Ephesian elders, he says, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on the alert. Be on guard. Watch out. They'll come in among you, and they will arise from among you. People that you wouldn't suspect will suddenly arise and start teaching false doctrine about how you get to heaven. You got to watch out for this. Francis Chan is one of those individuals who he was regarded as being one of the, you know, quote unquote, new Calvinists, along with people like Mark Driscoll and others. And, you know, I wouldn't categorize Driscoll as reformed in any way, shape, or form. And certainly Chan is ecumenical and doing all this schmooze with Eastern Orthodoxy and Roman Catholicism and the wackiest forms of Pentecostalism and the charismatic movement out there. Discernment, it just never existed in that group of the quote-unquote new Calvinists who have these charismatic leanings and their theology is very shallow. You know, that may sound elitist and sound mean, but I'm sorry. Francis Chan's actions and the things that he's been saying and doing have demonstrated that this guy is dangerous. And he needs to be denounced, he needs to be dealt with, and he needs to be avoided by people who love and know the truth. So, anyway, didn't really get to mention, but I wanted to do, I haven't been putting up as many videos, and I want to put out some more content so people can hear the truth. I don't hear a whole lot of that anymore these days. But just trying to do my part to add a little bit to the conversation. I was listening to the Ultimately podcast with little snippets from R.C. Sproul when I first woke up this morning. That's such a great podcast. Ultimately with R.C. Sproul is great. Renewing Your Mind, I've listened to that for years. So there's good stuff out there. There is. But we need more people that love the gospel to be putting out more stuff so people can hear it. Anyway, thank you all for watching or for listening. Pastor Patrick Hines of Bridal Heights Presbyterian Church, and you've been listening to the Pulpit Supplemental Podcast. You can find us on the web at www.bridwellheightspca.org. Our sermons are streamed through sermon audio, and you can listen to that on the iTunes podcast version of Bridal Heights Presbyterian Church. Feel free to join us any Sunday morning for worship at 11 a.m. sharp at 108 Bridwell Heights Road in Kingsport, Tennessee. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.